So, I know that it's going to look like we planned this, but I want to let you know, we don't often, we can't plan the kind of things that the Lord does this morning. And I'm preaching on prayer, but it's actually so much more than that, because prayer comes from a place of relationship, and that relationship, I'm going to give away the ending now, is based on our position as sons and daughters of a father. And right from this morning, right from the prayer meeting, right through even how Luke felt to just stop the meeting and address that thing of like crossing the divide. If you are not convinced that God is your Father, that He loves you, that He is for you, come and respond. All of worship is just this cry of like, Abba, Father, Father. And it's from that position, actually, that I want to preach today about prayer. And so I almost want to remind you, every time I mention the word prayer, I want you to think Father. And there's this beautiful quote by A.W. Tozer, and it says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. And for this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God Himself. And the most important fact about any man is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like." The most important thing about you, the most defining attribute of your identity, is actually who you think God is and what you think He's like. And prayer for us, I don't want to go into the super high level, lofty prayer, it's a conversation. When I'm talking prayer, I'm talking a conversation with a father. I'm talking a conversation with a person, and I'm talking a two-way conversation. I'm not just talking about shooting these kind of wishes up into the sky and hoping maybe someone hears them and maybe someone does something. Prayer is our primary means of communication with God. It's the primary way we actually engage with God. And I think we can often think on Him. We can often sing to Him, we can read His word, we can meditate on Him, and all these things can almost be quite sort of passive and one-sided from us. It is when we pray, that is when we engage. That is when we're actually like, God, I am now one-on-one, face-to-face, having a dialogue and a conversation with You. And so I want to say to you that if you pray, how you pray, and what you pray tells me how you see and view God. And I'll show that to you in my life. I have got children. If you watch how my children approach me, that will tell you a lot about what their perception of me is like. The fact that they come to me at least shows that, okay, well, there is a dad. It's good. Step one, there's someone to go to. But also the way they approach me, what they ask me, how they engage with me, that tells you what I am like to them. And I feel like for us so often with the Lord, we can approach Him in such weird ways. And I'm talking about me, like I can do this. We can approach the Lord in such weird ways sometimes. And so I actually want to kick it back to, there's this beautiful scripture in Acts 2:42, and you will have heard this preached a million times. And it is, you know, if we had a motto, if we had a kind of slogan for Josh Jen of what we were built on, it's this idea of Acts 2:42. And I'm asking to put it up quick. And it says that the disciples, so this is the early followers of Jesus, they joined with the other believers and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the Lord's Supper and in prayer. And then it says a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And I often wonder what that prayer looked like back then. Because we love traditions. We love a thing that is predictable, that makes us feel secure, that we can fall back onto when things all get a little bit loose and wild as they can in church. And we can kick back to the default that makes us feel comfortable. And I think maybe we even do that in our prayer sometimes. But back then, they didn't have what we have now. There wasn't really a lot of church tradition around yet. Jesus had come, He had turned religion on its head. He'd preached some pretty wild and spectacular things. And He made some incredible claims. He performed miracles that no one else had ever performed. He healed people. There were people raised from the dead. There were these incurable diseases that He cured. There were blind people that saw. He didn't just come and talk about the Lord. He came and started referring to God even as his Father. And then he goes further and he says he's our Father. He says, I'll no longer call you slaves, but friends. I'm going to join you to me. And from now on, there's going to be this Father. And he preaches that the temple is going to be destroyed. Like the site of worship, the site of prayer, the primary site of communication and interaction with God. He's like, oh, this thing's going to get torn down. And in 3 days, it's going to be rebuilt. And it's going to be rebuilt in me. And it's going to be rebuilt out of you. And I wonder, like, they must have had so many liturgies in how they approached God by that point in time. And then Jesus just comes and he tears it all apart. And he says that this new thing is going to be built and it's going to be built on and in him. They see Jesus crucified. Then they see him raised from the dead. Then the Holy Spirit falls and they're all filled with power and speaking in tongues. And it's this like incredible experience. And it says, and then out of that, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and then they pray. And I wonder what that prayer must have looked like. I think it must have been incredible because it's not based on any of the stuff that they've known before then. There's no priest suddenly who's doing it for them. It's every believer in their baby faith, like talking to God. And I think it must have been pretty loose. Really, like. And at its core, prayer is just this thing. It is this conversation with a Father. I mean, can you imagine if my kids walked up to me and they said, oh, Father, we beseech you. The bicycle which you gifted us, its tires are depleted. Will you restore them to their fullness of air? And like, I'm poking fun and I'm doing it deliberately. I'm not trying to be irreverent, but, you know, we can, I don't want to be over familiar with God ever. But there is an appropriate familiarity with God. And that appropriate familiarity is determined by the nature of the relationship. And if the nature of the relationship is a father who loves his children, who's good, his kids will walk up to him and say, Dad, bike you gave me is flat. Will you help me fix it? And as a father, I'm going to say, my boy, yeah, let's go. And I almost want to, I don't want to dumb down prayer, but I kind of do. I want to, why do we pray weird? And I'm talking about me, like I can fall into that sometimes. And trust me, like there are times when I think it is an incredible thing to be like, Lord, and to refer to him with a reverence and an awe and a wonder. But it is that same God who takes all of that and says, yes, I am, but I am your Father. Matthew 6, verse 7 to 9. And I love this because at this point in time, I don't think there was a lot of doctrine around prayer and what it should look like. And what's amazing is that Jesus, in his time on earth, he tells them how you should pray. And I love it. He doesn't say if you pray. He says when. There is this assumption that prayer is going to be a thing you do. It is going to be a part of your life. It is going to be this thing that you engage in. And he says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this, our Father. Our Father. And I want to say to you, this Father, he's not like me. I do get busy. I do get distracted. Sometimes my kids have to ask me a few times before I find the time. Sometimes I don't have the time and I run out of resources. But no, our Father, he doesn't. He is always aware. He is always awake. He is always watching you. He is always, almost always, hearing you. And he has got all the resources in all of creation. 1 John 3 verse 1, it says, see how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. John 15, 15, Jesus says, I'll no longer call you slaves because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Using my name. Are we able to approach him as a father and ask him for stuff like this? And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, great. Because there's something that is bent in us, and I so want to see the Lord come and fix it this morning so that we can relate to Him properly. Because above all else, I want you to know Him. And you will know Him through speaking to Him and conversing with Him and engaging Him. But it does raise some interesting questions. Because if there is this omniscient, omnipotent God who knows everything, sees everything, is able to do everything, knows what your needs are before you even ask them, it does kind of raise a question of, well, why pray? And I know my kid's bike's tire is flat because I put it in the garage and I see it. I know my kids need food. I know that they need comfort. I know that they have many, many needs. But what kind of father would I be if all I ever did was go to work, make some money, come home and meet their needs, go off and do my thing, go to work, make some money, come home, meet their needs? I would not be a father. I'd be a landlord or a provider at best. And our God, He wants to engage with you. He wants you to ask. He knows you need it. But He knows that more than needing your bicycle tire fixed, you need a relationship with Him. That is what's going to bring you life. That is what is going to fix you. That is what's going to bring you comfort. What's going to heal every broken part of you. What's going to let you walk into everything He's got for you is the relationship. And there's this beautiful word that describes an attribute of God, and it's called providence. And it's a nice, big, fancy word, but it means His protective care, guidance, and power. And what I have found is that God's providence, this nature of who He is, the fact that He is caring, loving, kind, and powerful, it inspires me to pray. I want to go to Him. I want to ask Him because I know He can, for starters. I'm not going to ask Him for something I know He doesn't have. My kids have never come and asked me for a submarine. I'm like, I don't have one of those, and they know it. They do think I can build one, which is quite inspiring for me sometimes. Wish I was the kid, the dad my kids sometimes think I am. But it's His providence that inspires me to pray. And then there's something about praying that actually invokes that providence in my life. Bible actually says you don't have because you don't ask. I wonder how much we've missed out on simply because we haven't gone to the Lord. I'm like, oh, but He knows. Oh, He does know. But He wants to be with you. He wants to meet with you. And so because of who He is, I want to pray to Him. And then again, because of who He is, He somehow comes and responds to me. And I love that. That is why I love prayer. And He's this incredible relational God. He saved you from your sin, but He saved you to Himself. Even Jesus came. The price that He paid was to actually restore a relationship to a father. And I love it that even Jesus, you know, God incarnate, baptized, full of the Holy Spirit, knowing everything the Father knows. And you know how often we just see Jesus praying? And I'm like, man, if He did, and like He was God. And even in Jesus, there was this recognition that He needed the Father, that there was this relational God that He was set to engage with. And so we pray. Why do we pray? Well, we pray because He cares. And I so wish, man, that there's so many aspects of prayer that we could touch on, but I felt like even this morning, the Lord wants to narrow in on this thing of like, I'm a dad. I'm a dad. And I want to show you what I'm like when you pray. In Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. You know what I love? Prayer for me is the great antidote to worry. I have had an incredible year of learning this thing. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. I always laugh when I read commands like this because I'm like, okay, always be full of joy. But I'm not joyful. I'm freaking out because things are falling apart. Lord, how am I supposed to be full of joy in a place like this? And He says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And for me, worry is rooted and birthed in this thing. It's rooted in it's a lack of control. The things I can control, I'm not worried about. I'm like, ah, got that thing. Man, it's the stuff that I can't control. The things that impact me that I have no say or sway in. Those things freak me out. And there is this question of where do I go with that stuff? And the one thing that I can do with all the things I can't control is take them to the one who is in control of everything. And not just in control, but that he is a father. He's got a relationship with me. He is inclined towards me. He wants to do something about all the many things that freak me out and are causing me anxiety and are causing me stress. Because he is loving and he is able, and there is this providence which is his provision and his power, but also his inclination to direct towards us and to guide us and help us and lead us. And I want to share a story with you of what this looks like. I've got a little boy, Jet, who you guys have seen, little blonde-headed terror running around. And that boy's life, he was born with some pretty major heart defects. So he had a very complex internal heart and lung condition. And for almost the first year of his life, we did not know if he was going to live. And I'm not being dramatic. Like, he was in and out of hospital. There were many times where the doctors are like, listen, we think he's on his way out. We don't think he's going to make it. And he like crashed and was resuscitated. And it was this year of absolute chaos. And there was nothing as a dad that I could do. Not a thing. And I remember just lying there for so long. I'd go to sleep and then my first wake up in the morning, I'd wake up and I'd be like, I wonder if my boy made it through the night. Because he was in hospital and we were at home. And I would just wake up as a dad and be like, Lord, is my boy even alive? And I'd phone the hospital and they'd tell us how he was. And I remember, one day just getting so tired. I was like, Lord, I'm exhausted. Like, I've got faith in you, but I don't know how this works out. I don't know. Like, will you just give me something to hold on to? And, you know, one of the big things eventually, the Lord did incredible things. Like, they had said to him that he would, there was a part of his heart that was just not there. And we prayed. I was like, Lord, that's not a good enough answer for me. They said he'd kind of live and he'd probably see his early teens and then he might, you know, he'd die. I was like, Lord, that's not an answer. That I just can't accept that. And we prayed, and there's a part of his heart that grew. It was not there. When we spoke to the doctors afterwards, it was incredible. They said, listen, we don't have a medical explanation. And I was like, amazing. I've got an explanation for you. But you know, And that was an incredible thing. It was a display of his glory and his power, and I was so grateful. But you know what really got me in that period of time? So when he started getting better, I was like, Lord, what is his life going to look like? Because they had said he would always be compromised, he would always struggle. And I just remember asking the doctors one day, I was like, Lord, not Lord, doctor. Doctor, Lord, oh Lord, doctor. No, but I was like, doctor, like, what is my boy's life going to be like? Is he going to be is he going to be able to ride a bike? Is he going to climb a tree? Like, is he going to play with his brothers? What is his life going to be like? I had this uncertainty and this anxiety around his future. And the doctors are like, man, we don't know. We'll have to see. He's always going to struggle, but, you know, we'll just have to take it a day at a time and see how it goes. And I come to church, and little Gracie Yonker comes up to me and says, I saw this picture of Jet riding his bicycle with his brothers. And I feel like it's a picture from the Lord for you. And I looked, she didn't know that I'd asked the doctors, will he ride a bike? Will he play with his brothers? And a provider could come and heal my son. But a father came and healed me. He came and gave me the comfort I needed to get me through that. And I want to say, like, that is what our God is like. That is this father that we pray to. That's how he relates to us. And there are countless other stories. I mean, that was an incredible one, but like some stuff I've seen in this congregation. There was a guy who needed a car, and like we prayed for him. He's like, oh Lord, would you provide a car? And I was almost like flippant in it. Next day, phones was like, bro, you're never going to believe this. Someone gave me a car. And I'm like, and for me, I'm like, it's not because I'm some great prayer dude. Like, I'm just, but I was like, Lord, you heard the need of my heart needing comfort for my son who may not make it. You've healed my son. And then also you take care of the material needs. Jobs, man. I've prayed for jobs. God comes through. I've prayed massive prayers that God has answered. I've prayed little prayers and God has answered them. And for me, that shows something about his nature and his character as a father. I pray because he wants to be in relationship with you. Did you know that you can change God's mind? Do you know that? Do you know that you can move the heart of God? That God can be set on a course of action and you can pray and he will change his course of action. And I'll show it to you in the Word. There are these countless stories, but in Exodus, God comes and says, he's like, I'm going to destroy this nation because they've worshipped this golden calf. Like, I am done. And Moses pleads on behalf of the people. He's like, Lord, don't do it. And God says, okay, Moses, you prayed. I will relent. Sodom and Gomorrah. Love it. Again, Abraham negotiating with God. It's like, Lord, I know you want to destroy this town, but would you spare it for the sake of 50? And then he gets quite cheeky and he kind of almost gets God into this conversation of like, how many can I push it till that God will not destroy a whole city? And that shows me something about a God who wants to be engaged with and who will actually shift what he's going to do because you asked, because he loves you. And for me, it is the ultimate, if you want to know how God sees you, it is the ultimate expression of the dignity that God places on you, of the value and worth he feels when he looks at you, that he would hear you and then do the thing you asked. Hezekiah gets told by the prophet, you are going to die. Please don't ever bring me that prophetic word. The prophet comes and he's like, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Hezekiah weeps. He's like, Lord, please, don't take my life. And then the Lord sends that same prophet back. He says, because you prayed, because you asked, because you humbled yourself, you will live. It does tell him he's got 15 years, though. I was like, Lord, I don't know if I'd want a clock on that, if, you know, that's just me. But prayer matters, man. You can move the creator of the universe. You can move his heart if you would engage with him. Does it not inspire you to want to pray, to want to talk to this God? Prayer changes us. Man, when I pray, there's something that repositions me. And part of it is this. I can sometimes start to think I'm quite capable and quite self-sufficient. There are moments when I pray where I realize, Lord, I do not have this thing under control. I am so dependent on your mercy and on your grace and on your kindness and on your provision. And I actually love that because when I understand myself and my position under the Lord, I feel a lot more secure because I understand that I'm actually a son, that I need a father, that he is a father, that he loves me. Forgiveness. This one blew my mind, but Matthew 5, verse 44, it says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Did you know that you can hinder your prayers? Where it actually says that the Lord will not hear your prayers. Now, he's not deaf. Can I just say that? It's not like he's like, oh, missed that one, didn't. But there's this sense that if we don't position ourselves as sons, if we don't understand that we're forgiven, and if we don't forgive, we actually put ourselves in a position where God says, listen, you've messed this thing up. I can't relate to you as a father and a son because you're not acting like one. If you're not forgiving, I can't bring you into forgiveness. And so because I can't bring you into forgiveness, I can't relate to you as a son. And there's this breakdown and this discord in this relationship. And it is why the Bible is so serious about forgiveness, because it is going to mess up your relationship and your friendship with your father. So can I say to you, if you are struggling in prayer, if it just feels like this dry desert wasteland, just check that thing. Look into your own heart. Be like, Lord, is there some area where maybe I'm stuck, where maybe I'm not forgiven? Maybe you can't actually act on the prayers I'm praying because I've not positioned myself correctly in front of you. It says it again, Mark 11, 25. It says, when you are praying, again, when, not if, it is a when thing. Forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. And there's something about sin and compromise and unforgiveness and breakdown in relationship that breaks down our relationship with Him. And I hate that because I have seen what He's like as a father. And I hate it when I can't live in that place where I relate to Him as a son. Relational stuff, guys. Like, God is a relational God. That's why He puts so much emphasis on our relationships. It's why He demands unity of us. It's why He demands unity in our marriages. It's why He demands that we deal with our offenses. Why He demands that we forgive and move on and work through the difficult stuff. Because we can hinder His ability to hear us. And this is, prayer can be difficult because I'll be the first to say, like, God doesn't answer all my prayers. And I want to say to you, if you're going to pray to Him, if you're going to have a conversation with Him, does God answer your prayers? Well, it's a yes and no question. There are many things my children ask me that I'm like, no, I don't even need to think about that. There's some things that they ask me and I'm like, my initial inclination is no. And then as they wear me down, I'm like, okay, fine. And even that's a biblical principle. It's in the Word. The Lord talks about this persistent widow who keeps pestering and heckling this judge, and eventually this unrighteous judge is like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And like, that's, you know, that judge acts in frustration, but God, He's illustrating this principle, like, come to Me. I want you to keep coming to Me. I want you to keep engaging with Me. And sometimes, you know, there are a lot of things that my kids have asked me. I often wonder why God answers prayers differently to how I prayed them. Because often when I go to the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I need this thing. I've also got some great ideas about how You could do it. And very often the Lord is like, no. But so often, the things I've prayed for, the Lord is like, man, I could do this for you. But actually, because I love You, because I'm relational, because of the dignity and worth that I place in life, I'm going to do this thing with You. So there are areas of my life where I'm like, Lord, will You just break this thing, break this stronghold, break this sin? And He's like, okay, but I'm not going to do it for You. I'm going to do it with You. And then you have to walk this journey and you have to fight. And it's because He's like, man, you're a son, but you're not just a chokirki. Like, you're a son who is growing, who is going to mature. I want you to learn to stand tall. I want you to learn to persevere. I want to put character into you. I want to teach you perseverance. And so I'll hear You, but I'm going to do the thing with You. There are also some prayers we can pray with wrong motives. James 4 says, if we ask for things with wrong motives, things that will just give us pleasure, it's like, nah, not going to do that thing for You. And I thank God for it. I look at some of the prayers I've prayed. Like, Lord Jesus, thank You that You did not answer that one. Like, yeah, man. Oh. You need to understand this thing about God as a father. Is that He knows your needs and He understands your needs better than you do. My kids will often come to me and they're like, Dad, we want this thing. I'm like, I know you want that thing. And I know you'd enjoy it. But actually, there's a better way for you. 5 liters of ice cream will be a lot of fun, but you are going to throw up in your bed. A little bit of ice cream will be amazing, but actually, let me teach you about a healthy diet. Let me teach you how to have balanced meals. And I mean, it's a stupid example, but you know, that's just as an earthly dad. Like, our Father, He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every dream. He lives outside of time. He knows how this all works out. He knows the decisions you're going to make before you make them. He has an eternity and a destiny planned for you, and it is good, and He is good. And so He acts towards you out of His goodness. And sometimes His goodness is, I can't give you that, but I have a better thing. And sometimes the better things, there's stuff I've prayed for. I'm like, Lord, okay, You said no there, and I'm still kind of waiting for the better thing, and I haven't seen it. I don't know why He does that. Maybe the better thing I'll just see one day when I see Him face to face, and that's okay with me, because the great need we all actually have, more than jobs or cars or healing or broken relationships being restored or needs met, or is a father. And the one prayer you pray that will always be answered, and will always be answered perfectly, is, would you be my father? That you would have a relationship with the King of Kings, that you would have what you were built for restored. And so even in prayer, I'm like, Lord, just the fact that I can is an answer to an incredible prayer and a deep longing in my heart that I know the Father. Sometimes he answers quickly, sometimes he answers long, sometimes he answers differently, sometimes he doesn't answer at all. But I thank God that he's not just this ATM where I put something in and I push some buttons and I get out exactly what I expected. I'm going to leave you three very simple things. How should we pray? Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Don't let the religion get in the way of the relationship. I talk to him often. Sometimes I'm just shooting the breeze. Sometimes I'm like, Lord Jesus, I need you. When should we pray? Well, the word says, when you pray. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. It can feel like a difficult thing. But I even practice this thing. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to just be, you know, my wife, quality time with her, man. If I would just sit down and not be distracted and just talk, that is the thing she most loves. And she will tell you, as will all wives, the key to a good relationship is communication. You want a good relationship with your father? Communicate with him. Talk to him. And then take time and listen, because I promise you, he wants to talk back. Whenever you need help, you pray. Whenever you're thankful, you pray. Whenever you are concerned for something, you pray. You know, often I think of some of you, and then like your face just pops into my head. And I'm like, oh, Lord, would you bless them? My brother, my sister, my co-heir. I just bless them, Lord. I don't always get something out of it, but I'm like, man, he's in my head. I want to pray for him. What should we pray about? The word said everything. Pray about everything. I pray about my decisions. I pray about my concerns. I want to tell you that this Father of yours, everything that concerns you concerns him, because he loves you.